the One World Radio program, a collaboration between 89.5 FM Bush Radio, Cape Town, South Africa, and 88.7 FM WRHU Radio, Hofstra University in Hempstead, New York. Broadcasting from the Bush Radio Salt River Studios in Cape Town is host me, Lydia Makhwanana. Broadcasting from WRHU Studios in Hempstead, New York, are your hosts Cody Millar and Andy Gladding. We welcome you to join us for the next hour as we celebrate the power of community radio, music, language, and culture. The world is a big place, but using the power of radio, we're bringing it right to your door. Now Bush Radio and WRHU welcome you to the One World of Community Radio.
WRHU 88.7 FM Hempstead, WRCT Radio Carnegie Tech 88.3 Pittsburgh, 89.5 FM Bush Radio Cape Town, the mother of community radio. You are listening to the One World Radio Show. I'm Ricky Hubert, broadcasting from New York, joined by Lydia Marwanana in South Africa. Lydia, how are you today?
I'm doing quite well, thank you. Not complaining. It's been a long day today. It's already in the afternoon right now. It's almost 4:30 in the afternoon. How are you doing? Good morning. Good morning to you.
Good morning and good afternoon to you, because we taped the show at different times. We were talking about that last week. How long have you been a part of the One World Show, Lydia? Because I just joined on in the summer with these taping schedules.
Oh, so I joined in last year. I think last year, sometime last year in April. Yes, last year in April. From then, and I have been running with the show till now.
Running with the show till now. How did you get tapped to do this?
So, how I got tapped was one of my colleagues was actually doing it. But then they left, and then they chose me after them. They're like, okay, Lydia, it's a show. Yeah, so I took it and I'm like, oh, give it to me, let me run with it. And I've been loving it ever since.
Oh, me too. Someone graduated and I had to take over the student spot. That's how I got tapped to do this.
Oh, nice. And how has the experience been for you?
I've been loving it. I've really been enjoying getting to work with you. I tell you that all the time, getting to do our interviews with all our great guests and putting together this show every week. It really is a joy for me. I really do enjoy it.
And it's absolutely amazing working with you. You're such a gift.
Oh, thank you. You are a gift. You're the gift. But now, because students at Hofstra's radio station obviously graduate, they go on to do better things, but there are a couple mainstays at our community radio station that last the whole time, that last a very long time. And we're thrilled to be joined by one of them today. Would our guest like to introduce herself?
Lydia, my name is Basha. I am a community volunteer liaison. I was for 6.5 years, and now I'm just a plain community volunteer doing two programs here on WRHU, Radio Hofstra University, and I love every moment of it because I've been here 38 years.
Wonderful. Wow, Basia, nice to meet you. And talking about that, you've been in radio for like almost 38 years, you said. Like, what first inspired you into getting involved with radio, especially community broadcasting?
Well, the gentleman that I took the show over from, he moved to Florida, and the show was going to just like disappear. And I was asked by then at that time, Jeff Krause, if I would considered doing this show, and I said, I'll give it a try. Well, as I say, I've been trying for the last 38 years and enjoying every moment of it.
Oh, that's absolutely amazing to hear. And can you tell us about your very first experience in radio? Like, what was it like having to tap back and be like, that was your first experience?
Too many experiences, but every experience I've had here has been a learning lesson for me and for the people that I have interviewed as well. And working with the students here at WRHU has been a pleasure.
Amazing. And looking at radio from when you started until now, has radio changed?
I wouldn't say changed. It has improved dramatically. The shows are more informative, and I think more for the community than for the students.
What year did you first get involved with WRHU? What was the first time you got involved? What year
It
was that?
was in 1987.
1987. So what was like that? Do you remember your first day on the air doing
Yes.
it? Tell us about your first time.
I was a nervous wreck because I didn't know anything about radio, and I was just, I said, I'll give it a try. And I've been trying ever since. And am I enjoying it? Yes, I am.
Because your time slot now in our current schedule is 11 to 3 on Sunday. What was the original time? Was it always that?
No, it first started out with one day a week, I think was a Wednesday from 7 to 8, and then Sunday it was from 12 to th two.
Because you were saying about, Lydia asked about how radio has changed. Hofstra Radio has changed. WRHU has changed very dramatically since you first joined. Tell everybody, you could go on for years about that, but you could tell everyone how it's changed so much since then.
It has, because we used to be down in Memorial Hall in the basement of a building, and I remember lugging all my music downstairs, down, I think 20 steps, if I'm not mistaken, to do the show on Sunday and on Tuesdays. And it was interesting. And did I continue to enjoy it? Yes, I did. That's why I'm still here. But now I am up in the clouds right now, basically, because we moved from the lower basement into a beautiful building here on the campus of Hofstra.
Lydia came to see the studios back in the fall, so Lydia can attest to how lovely and beautiful and state-of-the-art our studios are. Now, back in 99, these studios opened up. So you were in the basement for about 12 years, right?
A good 10, 12 years,
10,
yes.
12 years. So what was the process like of moving everything from down there to moving everything upstairs? Because I remember I was talking with Jake, one of the students, and he was saying, yeah, Basha helped rebuild this station. And I was like, I need to ask Basha about what that experience was like, and now we have this
Oh my
opportunity.
gosh, it was to describe it in one word is hard to say. But let's put it this way. It was interesting because I got to see how the station really works, if you know what I'm trying to say to you. I mean, it's just not bits and pieces putting together here. It was really a lot of work, a lot of effort put in by everybody here that was at the station at the time. And as I say, Jeff Krause was the manager at the time, and he's passed. And then now, when Bruce came in, things have changed again as well. I mean, so radio has been ever changing here at WRHU.
How would you say things changed in those years? Obviously, the technology has
The
advanced.
technology has changed. The formats for the different shows have changed. At one time, we were only on for, I would think, something like for 12 hours or something. And now we're on 24 hours, which makes a whole lot of difference. Like, we're able to provide a variety of shows, music, information shows, sports, you name it. I think WRHU has quite a variety of shows here.
There is a variety of programming, but we're going to talk more about the programming that you participate in. That's your programming. So for those who don't know, tell everyone what your Sunday show is all about.
My Sunday show is 4 hours of Polka Nobetic time, Polish music, and Polish music is very lively. Some of the songs are sad, but most of it is very lively and energetic. Makes you want to get up and dance and tap your hands and stomp your feet.
Lydia, we were talking about the variety of programming here because our whole weekends are pretty much dominated by cultural programming. There's a lot of cultural programming at Bush, right?
Yes, there is. Like the one that I normally, what you call this, I host and present. It's a mixture of culture, especially when it comes to language and everything, because in South Africa we have like what 12 languages. So we kind of came up with three, and yeah, we have a lot of culture, and yeah, that's basically what Bush is about, a mixture of cultures. And yeah, our show is just a cater for everything and every culture.
Everything and every culture. We have a lot of different cultures. We have the on weekends. We have the.
We have the Italian show. We have the Irish shows. We have the Polish shows as well. But at one time we did have a Greek show, but that was hosted by Mr. Savalas, but he passed away, so it's no longer there as a Greek show. No one picked that up. I mean, music is interesting. It's lively. If you are sad, turn on a radio to music and you will enjoy music.
When did your love of the polka music first start? Was it around the house growing up?
Growing up, my folks always had the radio on, and usually on Saturdays and Sundays, they always had Polish music on those radio shows. I mean, of course, there wasn't that variety of stations as there are today. That's the thing of it. So most of the shows that came out of the radio were basically from the area of New Jersey or Connecticut, like, and it was interesting, and I got to like it. It's like, okay, this is fun music. I mean, I felt it was like we could get up and dance, and that's what I have done. Got up and danced.
Got up and danced. Do you dance now in the studio when you do your show?
I wish I could.
So how is the, obviously the format has changed, obviously, but the music and playing it with the seed, how has technology impacted the way that you do your show?
All right, years ago, it used to be all vinyl records, and 78s, 45s, and then the long play. Now, all of a sudden, they decided that, oh, we're going to try with CDs, and which is fine, and there was even 8-track tapes as well. It's like, I know you're looking at me, 8-track tapes, what was that like, And it was a different type of it was, music was great, but you get the quality of music basically on a vinyl record. You don't get it on a CD. You don't get it on anything else. I'm sorry. I mean, it's just like, because to understand Polish music, you've got to understand something. It is lively. It can be very energetic. And it also gives you a sense of that you want to be a part of it. Of the music. It makes you want to say, okay. And you got to learn how to some of the words to some of the songs. And it's like, it's interesting.
You have a show on Sunday, and I remember asking you about this. I said, because you're describing, I'm going to use a phrase no one likes, back in the day, because you've been doing this a really long time. I was saying, how many Easter Sundays have you had to do a show on? How many Christmases? And you said you were very loyal to your audience.
I do Christmas, I do Easter, Memorial Day. And when the holidays fall, I am here. I am live. The only time I did taped shows was when I went to Poland for three times. And that was the only time I taped the shows. But otherwise, I am here because I feel my audience have been very good to me when I've had fundraisers. They have contributed very nicely, and I feel I owe it to them. And to the general public, that polka music is here to stay.
Polka music is here to stay. Tell us about the fundraising, the initiatives.
Fundraising is not easy because your audience, and some of them have financial problems, but they still want to contribute, and they do help you out, and they do contribute to keep the music going on the radio.
How many fundraisers have you done? Can you name it? Can you figure it out?
I would say at least a good 35.
35 fundraisers. Can you believe that, Lydia?
Wow. 35. Wow. And how has it been? Is it always successful? Because that's what a lot of people are afraid of creating fundraising this side, is that what if nobody comes through?
Oh no, if you have loyal listeners, they will come through. They will not embarrass you. They will support you. Your listeners, they support you.
What's the process like putting together a fundraiser like this, because the last time we had a fundraiser here, it was the Irish Marathon back in 2023. I remember you were there that day. Yeah. We didn't know each other at the time, but I remember they said Bosch is going to come speak on the microphone. And I came on halfway through the process of planning that, but we've tried to plan certain ones throughout this past year, and everything has just been, like Lydia said, sometimes getting it off the ground is unsuccessful because people have a million different things going on. And so how do you plan it? How do you plan it from the start and say, I want to do this? What's that process like?
It's not easy planning a marathon, let's put it that way. Because number one, you guys get all your music together and you're figuring you're going to be here for usually 4 hours, sometimes 5 hours. So you're figuring you're going to have to pull out 100 musical selections, and you're going to hope that the selections that you are selecting for the listener, they will enjoy and they will contribute to your show.
Out of the 35 that you've hosted, which two would you say were your best?
To me, they were all the best. Because I enjoyed doing the marathons, let's put it that way. It's a lot of work, but the rewards are great when your listeners are out there, or they stop at the studio to drop off the money, or they send a check in to the station. Like,
how do you build that relationship with your listeners over time? How do you? I think a lot of things what they try to teach us in this business is, because Lydia, did you go to school for communications or anything of that sort?
No, we didn't. No, I didn't.
Oh, so how did you kind of find, because that's why I was curious with Basha, because Basha, people like Basha have this big following and these loyal listeners. How did you, because in school now they try to teach us about building an audience, building a brand for yourself. How do you kind of figure that out? Both of you, really.
On my side, I actually started to learn about creating a huge following, or your branding yourself, only when I'm like here at work. That was like 2022, the first time I'm actually learning about it. Since I'm in media, that's how I started learning about it, because in school we never really got taught about that. So the experience has been quite rough, because one thing is that I am quite shy. I'm very shy, and so now with being in the media and having to create a brand for yourself, it means you have to come out of your shell and have to have that attractive thing that people will like about you, so that you can, you know, bring them in. So yeah, it's quite an experience, you know, having to, you know, bring people in.
Well, my experience has been this. We have Polish dances, we have Polish clubs, various variety of clubs, and I do go to a lot of these social events. This is how I've maintained a lot of the friends, and they have been very supportive of the shows that I do here at Hofstra, like Long Island Community Spotlight and Polka Novetic Time here.
How do you work to keep the Polish music tradition alive for the younger generation that is listening to your show?
That's a good question, because I go out to these various clubs and social events, and usually it's always the older generation. There's not that many younger ones that are coming around. It seems like the younger generation that's coming out right now have a variety of video games, sports, and what have you. So I feel I don't get that many young ones as I wish to have.
And have you ever had like any challenges, like any biggest challenges during your broadcasting career?
Yes, I do the Sunday show, Polka Novetic Time, and the engineer that was supposed to be, that is assigned to the show, had a family emergency, and there was no engineer. So the young man from his previous show, I asked him to please help me put me on, and I would engineer my own show, which I did for 2 hours, playing music, doing the talking, and playing the CDs. Was it easy? It was very hectic, let's put it that way. But I did the show for 2 hours. And did I enjoy it? Yes. Would I do it again if I had to? Yes, I would.
Well, that's why I was kind of saying, you were saying your dedication to your audience, because they've been very good during the fundraisers. and just in general, kind of the show must go on mentality, what kind of instilled that in you through the years as you've been doing this? Was it the fundraising? Even you said, Easter Sunday, I'll be here. If Sunday is Christmas Day, I'll be here. What kind of...
I feel I owe it to the listening audience, because they are very supportive of the show. And when you have people that are loyal and supportive of a program, I think you owe it to your listening audience to be there for them.
Be there for them, because they've been there for you.
Yes.
Because we were asking before we went on about feedback from the audience with the program. Mm-hmm. How have you heard feedback through the years with Polka and Oberg Time? Do you get phone calls during the show?
No. I am the type of individual, I will not take phone calls on my show. I'll always tell my listeners and people when I see them, if you want to talk to me, you can call me or you can email me at my home, and that's it. Because I don't like being interrupted on the show when I'm playing the music. It's not fair to the people that are out there listening.
Oh, it's a very interesting take. Because you were talking about feedback with Long Island Community Spotlight, you touched on a little bit. Because we're all community radio stations, and this is one of something that really highlights that community aspect here at WRHU. Yeah. Talk about the Long Island Community Spotlight. Touch on that a little bit more.
Long Island Community Spotlight, well, being that I go to many places and I meet people, and I always have my business card with me and ask them what they like to, and they have been everybody has agreed, yes, I want to be on your show. And if sometimes the times that I am able to give to them, they're not able to, but eventually I'll always get them. I would say the political ones are very, very interesting, let's put it that way. Because the mayor of Westbury, being I'm a resident of Westbury, there has been so many changes. And when I walk down the street, Post Avenue, I'll see the changes. And then I'll call up the mayor. I said, Mr. Mayor, why didn't you tell me? And he said, well, he says, I expect you to call me. I mean, so I call him, and he's been very receptive. And Mr. McKibbitt the legislator, has been very helpful as well. I mean, so, and Assemblyman Levine, he has been on several times. We just did reference to January the 6th event that happened at the nation's capital, and that went very well. I mean, so it's like, I do touch upon a lot of subjects.
And how long have you been doing Long Island Community Spotlight for?
23 years.
So you were doing Polk and Oberic Time.
Yeah.
And how did that happen? They said, so-and-so is leaving. We want you to do the Long Island Community Spotlight.
It was John Mann who did a show with Know the Law. And I think he did his show for, I would say almost 30 years. And he stepped down. And then somebody else said they would take the show over. Well, the young lady that took the show found out her studies and her job, she wasn't able to combine everything together. So it left it empty. And at that time, I was community volunteer liaison. So I said, I'll give it a try. Well, I've been trying ever since.
Did you feel that title of liaison made you feel like, well, I have to take this over?
I just felt we can't drop a show. We've got to put something in there. You know, you just can't have a radio show and then all of a sudden say, oh, I no longer want to do it. You've got to have a plan that if you have another person behind you, they'll help you.
I'm talking about having the show has to go on, like something must happen and you must not just let people down, you know. How do you put together your shows, you know, having to pull through interviews? What's your way of putting the show together?
When I get the gentleman or the lady, whoever I'm interviewing, I'll always research all their information and their background. And then I'll find out what issues they're involved in. And that's how I research. And that's how I base the show on what their activities are in the community, how they have helped people and, you know, and how they're doing, what should they be doing better to improve the communities.
Do you have, not necessarily a favorite guest, but a favorite conversation that you had or an issue that you were very passionate about that you got to address on the spotlight that gave you a... Because you're essentially a voice for the community to a degree, right?
I know. And it's like, I always, well, maybe it's because I sit and I read a newspaper. I'm a newspaper person, and I find, and I look at some of the stories that are in the paper, and it's like, if it's pertaining to Long Island, I will research it and see if it's going to be good for my audience to listen to. Because some people will not read a newspaper. They'll read everything online, and they forget what was online. So it's like, I just feel radio takes the place of everything that's online.
You're discussing feedback. What kind of feedback do you get from your listening audience about the spotlight? Maybe issues they want to hear about?
Well, some of them have approached me saying about a few issues that they feel that I should be discussing. And some of them are a little bit too political, and I'm not that political savvy. I mean, I will, say, okay, if the village or Glen Cove or the town of Oyster Bay has an issue that I feel is overall for the community, yes, but some issues are not for everybody, if you know one, not for the community.
Right. Sometimes people just want to have an agenda on the air.
Yes.
How do you, and Lydia, you can talk about this too. We live in, at least in the United States, we live in a very partisan time. And there's so much, you were saying the media isn't trusted in South Africa at all, right? There's very little trust.
Yeah, there is quite a little bit of we don't really trust what the media says because most of the time you find out that it's not true. So we do have a lot of trust issues when it comes to media in South Africa.
You have misinformation.
Yes, we do have a lot of misinformation on this side, and especially when it comes to when it's for elections, when it's time to vote, oh, it gets really, really horrible where people just want to switch off their televisions and they don't want to hear anything.
Lydia came to the United States because you were saying we do a show about January
January.
6th.
Yes.
Lydia came to the United States and did a project about, tell Basha what the project you did, because you came and studied the US elections.
We did. So we came through. It was a cultural exchange just to learn and get a more feel of America because we don't know America. All we see about America is on our televisions, on social media. So we were lucky enough to come through during the time of the elections there in America to learn a little bit more about how elections go and how the system works. And it is quite a tricky one in America. Like it was very surprising and very different from what we are used to.
Our elections are, I would say, they're well done, but there's a lot of misinformation at the same time that is put out there, and you have to decide which is good, which is bad. And if you know the candidate, you can always approach the candidate and ask him why did he feel that issue was of value, of importance to the community.
When it comes to having to meet up with the elect, is it easy to reach? Because I know here in South Africa, it is so hard. You go through a lot of channels in order to just speak to a representative of the party. So is it the same on the other side, on your side?
I've had a few problems getting some local individuals to come in onto the show. That I admit, but eventually I get them. After 23 years, they've come forward.
When you interview the politicians, it's very like an objective thing because Lydia was talking about misinformation. Lydia, when you have public figures come by Bush, how do you approach stylistically those interviews because there is so much misinformation and disinformation out there? Is it really politically divided? Because I remember you were saying there was, I remember Andy was saying there was a culture shock when you guys came about how bitter and divided and heated this whole election cycle was with the ads and everything leading up to it. How do you guys use your platforms to put aside that misinformation and disinformation?
So the best way that we did it the past time is that we held debates, and so we asked people, what is it that you would like to like the issues that you want to hear your politicians tackle, and give us your feedback. Like, you know, talk to us. So what is it that you want them to talk about, and have your say as well? Because we brought them in and we had a debate about everything, having people here as well, talks right straight to the politicians about the problems that they are facing. So with that, I think we did quite a good thing when it came to having people ask directly the politicians, so that we hear it, this and that on the socials. Is it true? So that they can clarify it themselves.
Asha, what did you do professionally?
I worked for a newspaper professionally for 32 years. I was a paymaster, okay?
You operated the payroll?
Yes.
So isn't that funny that most of your work in life has been volunteer?
Yes.
You haven't made anything. But you, as someone who just kind of said, I've been trying ever since, Long Island Community Spotlight, you've won a couple of journalism awards.
We won a folio for going back to 2003, I think it was. Then after that, there was a Long Island Press Club Awards that I won. I think there's something like 6 or 7 of them I have won on different topics.
We can't keep track of how many awards that we've won.
It's like you get out of radio what you put into radio. If you put nothing into it of interest and of value for your listening audience, then you get nothing out of it. You learn nothing. You have done nothing. And your life is not successful. I feel I've been a success in many ways because I, in addition to doing 2 radio shows, I write a column for a Buffalo newspaper about Polish activities. Then I also am president of the Polish American Museum in Port Washington, which we featured exhibits and cultural displays and do lectures and concerts, as well as I am vice president and treasurer of a professional businessmen's association.
Wow, that's a lot. Lydia, we got a lot of questions now to ask. Talk about the Buffalo paper.
Okay, the Buffalo, it's an English-speaking paper, okay? And it's a weekly column that I do. It's called Basha's Corner, and I feature historical Polish figures as well as local news here from Long Island as well, because we do have Long Islanders that do subscribe to the paper as well.
What's the name of the paper?
Ampol Eagle.
Ampol Eagle, and it's about Polish heritage, right?
Yes.
So how do you prepare for that and put that together differently than your radio show?
I do the column off the top of my head in many ways, I feel.
Oh, so what do you write about, really, with that?
Anything and everything that comes to mind. And if I see something in a local paper that I feel would be interesting to the reader, I'll research it further and go into details about the article.
The Polish American Museum of Port Washington, we were discussing before you went on the air. You've been involved in that longer than you've been involved with WRHU, right?
Yes, because the museum was founded in 1977, and there was 3 gentlemen that had visions for a place to preserve Polish heritage and culture. There were Mr. Rubel, Mr. Julian Joris, and Dr. Domsik. And their vision was to have a place for people to come and see what everything is about. I mean, we sponsor lectures, we sponsor concerts, we have exhibits. Right now we have 2 rooms that are dedicated, 1 to World War I and World War II. We have artifacts, we have photos, we have draft papers, we have anything pertaining to the individual. We have their medals as well. The families have been very good to us in donating their things because they don't want to keep them. The younger generation doesn't appreciate some of the stuff that the older people did. So they donated to the museum, and we put it on display.
Now, you're the president, you said, yes, of the museum. How much of an undertaking is that? Describe describe what, like, that entails, being the president of this museum.
The president has to set up lectures, and I do welcome visitors as well, although I do have volunteers. We're strictly a volunteer organization, and I have the volunteers come up and And it's like, and if they're not there, then I show people around, explain the exhibits and what have you. And right now we're in the process of doing a new exhibit that will be forthcoming. Hopefully it will be ready for April, I hope. I'm not sure yet. That's why I don't want to announce it at the moment.
That's all right. What can people expect coming to the museum if they want to stop by, look around? What can people expect? And
they will see military uniforms. They will see medals. They will see photographs. They will see, we have Chopin's hand and death mask as well. We have Copernicus items, you know, because he stopped, made the sun go around. And we have a Nobel Prize room that have photos of all the Polish recipients of this Nobel Prize. And it's like, and there's a little history on each of them, including Madame Curie. By the way, it's Women's Heritage Month. Madame Curie is quite a wonderful and interesting individual.
And is the museum open 24/7 and right through into the year, and public holidays included?
We are open, being right now we're closed because it's the winter months. We're able to set up new exhibits and displays. The museum is open on Fridays and Saturdays now because I lost several volunteers. One of them moved away. The other one got sick and she can't come back and walk around as much as she used to. So I just, you know, so I've got only four volunteers right now, and they give me their time when they are available. So we're open on Fridays and Saturdays now only, and Sundays by special appointments. That's when we usually do concerts and lectures on a Sunday. That's about every other month.
And how long do the programs run in the museum?
Our exhibits usually run for about 2 months, and the lectures and concerts usually run around about an hour and a half, and it's open to the public.
It says on the brochure that you're discussing the medals of Polish veterans, and the Center for Military Studies was established by, you were one of the people who established it.
Yeah.
And you're discussing focus on Polish participation in World War I and World War II. Why was this so important for you to have represented to people?
Well, because everybody seems to, well, World War II is always very prominent, but everybody forgets about World War I. I mean, and it's like a lot of Polish people were living in the area of Buffalo or in the area of Chickamauga, and they went over to Canada. And this is why they want to serve the country. They want to help America. So they went over there. They served the country. And it's like, and they have medals, and we have photographs, and we have like documentations from different organizations of the people that have been there. Like, and it's just been, it's a wonderful experience when you meet people who have been a part of history. At least I feel it's, to me, it's great, I'll be honest with you, because you always learn something that you didn't know about.
They say, you, I think, have been the epitome of this during our conversation. They say never stop learning because life never stops teaching. Right. How have you gotten to use your platform through the Polish American Museum and Polka Noberic time to learn more about your heritage?
I think I grew up being Polish, okay? Because my grandparents, my mother and father were working, so we spent a lot of time with my grandparents, and they always spoke Polish. And when we went to school, that's when we lost it, okay? Because it's like, when you go into local public schools, everybody has a different heritage, but they don't teach you about your heritage. They want you to learn English. They want you to know what your community is like and what English is about. They want you to learn history. They want you to learn arithmetic. You know what I'm trying to say to you?
Yes. I know what you're trying to say. So you've enjoyed that, because you were talking about being successful before. It's not necessarily, although you've won awards for the spotlight, too, would you say more of that success comes from what you've learned about your community and how you've potentially gone to help others by?
Yes, it has a lot to do with it. Being that I, well, let's put, I try to find, search out people that would be of interest to the community. And the more I, the more research I do, the more I'm learning. It's like Glencoe right now has a lady mayor. I think she's the second or third one. And I've interviewed her, and she's very knowledgeable, and she is a go-getter. I mean, so I think she's coming up for re-election, if I'm not mistaken. And it's like she wants to build a ferry from Glencoe to go into New York. That's an interesting project.
That is interesting.
Yes. So, but is she going to be successful? She's got some problems that people don't feel it's going to be equitable. It's not going to be of value to the people to go into the city, because the ferry would go down to lower Manhattan. So if you want to go uptown, that means you got to get other transportation. Like, you know, it's like, it's quite a controversial subject at the current time.
But that's kind of what with Lydia and what we all kind of do here at this, at our stations, is we are voices for the voiceless, essentially, right, for our community. And what I just like about your show most of all is that, because you're the president of this Long Island museum, you could interview yourself. Because you got on people from museums. Lydia, do you have anything, other questions to ask about the museum?
I was going to ask, like, what does folk arts, music, or even tradition crafts, like, play in keeping Polish heritage alive, especially having a museum about it? So how does it keep the Polish heritage alive?
That's a long question. Well, being that we are open 2 days a week, and it's like, for a while there, we were open 3 days a week, which was not very efficient. But 2 days a week, we have the people coming in, and they are looking for certain things. The most interesting ones that they find is the music of Chopin, Paderewski, and then they also, the Nobel Prize recipients. There is a ton of them that are very interesting. They're science, they're literature, they're authors. I mean, so it's been very formative. And then we also have Lech Walesa, who was then president of Poland at the time. We have a historical display on some of his stuff that was sent to us from Poland.
It's very interesting for me to hear, because I love museums. Even when I was on that side, I went to a couple of museums. You know, I like the history, learning more about where people come from, you know, their culture, and just getting an understanding and a feeling of people's background. So yeah, I even now that you're talking, I'm actually looking through the link Ricky showed me. So I'm actually looking through the museum and stuff. So yeah.
We have a website also, which you're able to access at the same time, PolishAmericanMuseum.com. If you go up on the website, there's a lot there to see. There's pictures of the museum as well, displays as well. So you'll find it very interesting.
Thank you for that.
You mentioned also about you've been to Poland 3 times.
Yes.
It's going to sound bizarre, but you grew up with the heritage and playing the music and with the museum. Did that teach you anything about your heritage that your radio work or your outside organization couldn't necessarily teach you, and the Polish clubs and the dances?
No. I went to Poland out of curiosity. Okay. Being that I've learned so much here in America about Poland and what have, reading Polish history and all that, I wanted to see what these places look like. I went to Warsaw. I mean, I could not believe Warsaw was devastated 80%. And now when you go to Warsaw, you see a total modern city. Trust me, it is beautiful. I go to Krakow, I see all these gorgeous museums and churches. They are unbelievable. I mean, let's put it this way. Europe is a country that I think everybody should go and visit some place in Europe, because really they put us, I feel, some of our things to shame here in America, I hate to tell you, because they have done well in preserving their history, and the people there are very knowledgeable. I've been to Zacapana, where they do a lot of skiing in the wintertime. Like, you know, the mountains are gorgeous. I mean, that's me, okay? Maybe nobody wants to go there, but it's like, but you find it very interesting. I mean, my son went to Italy, and he found Italy very interesting. They went to Rome. They went to a few other small cities, and they found it very interesting. So it's everybody has a different choice of where they want to go. But someplace in Europe, you will find very exciting.
What has been, just because you were saying exciting, what has been the most exciting part about being at WRHU and getting to be on the radio?
Most exciting part of it's been meeting and working with the students here at WRHU.
Most exciting part?
Most exciting part?
Students.
The students more than anything else. I mean, I've gotten to know a lot of the students. I've gotten to have the opportunity to work with them. And as well, even the executive board here is very helpful in many ways. I mean, so it's just like, you know, the school of communication is really a wonderful opportunity to learn radio, television, whichever.
You're what they call a community volunteer.
Yes.
Most people say, because I've always said, Lydia, the commitment that these people make, because they're here on their weekends, and you've been here on weekends for 4 decades nearly.
Yeah, it's amazing. Like, wow.
You said, what kind of just keeps you coming back? To because you have to do it out of a love of doing it, because there's no money involved. There's no...
Because I know I have a listening audience that are loyal and supportive, and I feel I owe the community something.
You owe the community something.
Yes.
Well, considering we're a show about the power of community radio, you might be one of the finest examples of that, given your 40 years of dedication to public broadcasting. So we thank you, Basha, very much for coming on our show today. We really do appreciate it.
And thank you for having me. And thank you for the invitation to come in and speak with you, and have a good day.
Thank you, Basha. You have been listening to the One World Radio Show on WRHU 88.7 FM, WRCT Radio Carnegie Tech Pittsburgh, and 89.5 FM Bush Radio Cape Town, South Africa, the mother of community radio. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you next time.
You've been listening to One World Radio, a collaboration between 89.5 FM Bush Radio, Cape Town, South Africa, and 88.7 FM WRHU Radio Hofstra University, Hempstead, New York. We thank you for joining us and look forward to seeing you next week as we celebrate the power of radio in our one world. Tot ziens jylle.
Unused prescription opioid pain medicines can spell trouble. They can spell risk if taken by someone they weren't prescribed for, harm if accidentally taken by a child or pet, or overdose if they're not used as directed. Safely dispose of opioids before they can hurt your family. Find a drug take-back option such as medicine drop boxes. You may find these in your community at local pharmacies or police stations. Visit www.fda.gov/drug disposal.
Do you worry about how much someone drinks?
Do you feel angry or depressed most of the time? Do you feel neglected or unloved?
Do you feel that if the drinker loved you, she or he would stop drinking?
If you answered yes to any of these questions, you are not alone.
Not everyone trapped by alcohol is an alcoholic.
Families and friends are suffering too.
Al-Anon and Alateen can help.
Call 1-866-200-0223 or visit alanon.org/help.
Do you worry about how much someone drinks?
Do you feel angry or depressed most of the time? Do you feel neglected or unloved?
Do you feel that if the drinker loved you, she or he would stop drinking?
If you answered yes to any of these questions, you are not alone.
Not everyone trapped by alcohol is an alcoholic.
Families and friends are suffering too.
Al-Anon and Alateen can help.
Call 1-866-200-0223 or visit alanon.org/help.
Do you worry about how much someone drinks?
Do you feel angry or depressed most of the time? Do you feel neglected or unloved?
Do you feel that if the drinker loved you, she or he would stop drinking?
If you answered yes to any of these questions, you are not alone.
Not everyone trapped by alcohol is an alcoholic.
Families and friends are suffering too.
Al-Anon and Alateen can help.
Call 1-866-200-0223 or visit alanon.org/help.
Do you worry about how much someone drinks?
Do you feel angry or depressed most of the time? Do you feel neglected or unloved?
Do you feel that if the drinker loved you, she or he would stop drinking?
If you answered yes to any of these questions, you are not alone.
Not everyone trapped by alcohol is an alcoholic.
Families and friends are suffering too.
Al-Anon and Alateen can help.
Call 1-866-200-0223 or visit alanon.org/help.
Do you worry about how much someone drinks?
Do you feel angry or depressed most of the time? Do you feel neglected or unloved?
Do you feel that if the drinker loved you, she or he would stop drinking?
If you answered yes to any of these questions, you are not alone.
Not everyone trapped by alcohol is an alcoholic.
Families and friends are suffering too.
Al-Anon and Alateen can help.
Call 1-866-200-0223 or visit alanon.org/help.
Do you worry about how much someone drinks?
Do you feel angry or depressed most of the time? Do you feel neglected or unloved?
Do you feel that if the drinker loved you, she or he would stop drinking?
If you answered yes to any of these questions, you are not alone.
Not everyone trapped by alcohol is an alcoholic.
Families and friends are suffering too.
Al-Anon and Alateen can help.
Call 1-866-200-0223 or visit alanon.org/help.
Do you worry about how much someone drinks?
Do you feel angry or depressed most of the time? Do you feel neglected or unloved?
Do you feel that if the drinker loved you, she or he would stop drinking?
If you answered yes to any of these questions, you are not alone.
Not everyone trapped by alcohol is an alcoholic.
Families and friends are suffering too.
Al-Anon and Alateen can help.
Call 1-866-200-0223 or visit alanon.org/help.
Do you worry about how much someone drinks?
Do you feel angry or depressed most of the time? Do you feel neglected or unloved?
Do you feel that if the drinker loved you, she or he would stop drinking?
If you answered yes to any of these questions, you are not alone.
Not everyone trapped by alcohol is an alcoholic.
Families and friends are suffering too.
Al-Anon and Alateen can help.
Call 1-866-200-0223 or visit alanon.org/help.
Do you worry about how much someone drinks?
Do you feel angry or depressed most of the time? Do you feel neglected or unloved?
Do you feel that if the drinker loved you, she or he would stop drinking?
If you answered yes to any of these questions, you are not alone.
Not everyone trapped by alcohol is an alcoholic.
Families and friends are suffering too.
Al-Anon and Alateen can help.
Call 1-866-200-0223 or visit alanon.org/help.
Do you worry about how much someone drinks?
Do you feel angry or depressed most of the time? Do you feel neglected or unloved?
Do you feel that if the drinker loved you, she or he would stop drinking?
If you answered yes to any of these questions, you are not alone.
Not everyone trapped by alcohol is an alcoholic.
Families and friends are suffering too.
Al-Anon and Alateen can help.
Call 1-866-200-0223 or visit alanon.org/help.
Do you worry about how much someone drinks?
Do you feel angry or depressed most of the time? Do you feel neglected or unloved?
Do you feel that if the drinker loved you, she or he would stop drinking?
If you answered yes to any of these questions, you are not alone.
Not everyone trapped by alcohol is an alcoholic.
Families and friends are suffering too.
Al-Anon and Alateen can help.
Call 1-866-200-0223 or visit alanon.org/help.
Do you worry about how much someone drinks?
Do you feel angry or depressed most of the time? Do you feel neglected or unloved?
Do you feel that if the drinker loved you, she or he would stop drinking?
If you answered yes to any of these questions, you are not alone.
Not everyone trapped by alcohol is an alcoholic.
Families and friends are suffering too.
Al-Anon and Alateen can help.
Call 1-866-200-0223 or visit alanon.org/help.
Do you worry about how much someone drinks?
Do you feel angry or depressed most of the time? Do you feel neglected or unloved?
Do you feel that if the drinker loved you, she or he would stop drinking?
If you answered yes to any of these questions, you are not alone.
Not everyone trapped by alcohol is an alcoholic.
Families and friends are suffering too.
Al-Anon and Alateen can help.
Call 1-866-200-0223 or visit alanon.org/help.
Do you worry about how much someone drinks?
Do you feel angry or depressed most of the time? Do you feel neglected or unloved?
Do you feel that if the drinker loved you, she or he would stop drinking?
If you answered yes to any of these questions, you are not alone.
Not everyone trapped by alcohol is an alcoholic.
Families and friends are suffering too.
Al-Anon and Alateen can help.
Call 1-866-200-0223 or visit alanon.org/help.
Do you worry about how much someone drinks?
Do you feel angry or depressed most of the time? Do you feel neglected or unloved?
Do you feel that if the drinker loved you, she or he would stop drinking?
If you answered yes to any of these questions, you are not alone.
Not everyone trapped by alcohol is an alcoholic.
Families and friends are suffering too.
Al-Anon and Alateen can help.
Call 1-866-200-0223 or visit alanon.org/help.
Do you worry about how much someone drinks?
Do you feel angry or depressed most of the time? Do you feel neglected or unloved?
Do you feel that if the drinker loved you, she or he would stop drinking?
If you answered yes to any of these questions, you are not alone.
Not everyone trapped by alcohol is an alcoholic.
Families and friends are suffering too.
Al-Anon and Alateen can help.
Call 1-866-200-0223 or visit alanon.org/help.
Do you worry about how much someone drinks?
Do you feel angry or depressed most of the time? Do you feel neglected or unloved?
Do you feel that if the drinker loved you, she or he would stop drinking?
If you answered yes to any of these questions, you are not alone.
Not everyone trapped by alcohol is an alcoholic.
Families and friends are suffering too.
Al-Anon and Alateen can help.
Call 1-866-200-0223 or visit alanon.org/help.
Do you worry about how much someone drinks?
Do you feel angry or depressed most of the time? Do you feel neglected or unloved?
Do you feel that if the drinker loved you, she or he would stop drinking?
If you answered yes to any of these questions, you are not alone.
Not everyone trapped by alcohol is an alcoholic.
Families and friends are suffering too.
Al-Anon and Alateen can help.
Call 1-866-200-0223 or visit alanon.org/help.
Do you worry about how much someone drinks?
Do you feel angry or depressed most of the time? Do you feel neglected or unloved?
Do you feel that if the drinker loved you, she or he would stop drinking?
If you answered yes to any of these questions, you are not alone.
Not everyone trapped by alcohol is an alcoholic.
Families and friends are suffering too.
Al-Anon and Alateen can help.
Call 1-866-200-0223 or visit alanon.org/help.
Do you worry about how much someone drinks?
Do you feel angry or depressed most of the time? Do you feel neglected or unloved?
Do you feel that if the drinker loved you, she or he would stop drinking?
If you answered yes to any of these questions, you are not alone.
Not everyone trapped by alcohol is an alcoholic.
Families and friends are suffering too.
Al-Anon and Alateen can help.
Call 1-866-200-0223 or visit alanon.org/help.
Do you worry about how much someone drinks?
Do you feel angry or depressed most of the time? Do you feel neglected or unloved?
Do you feel that if the drinker loved you, she or he would stop drinking?
If you answered yes to any of these questions, you are not alone.
Not everyone trapped by alcohol is an alcoholic.
Families and friends are suffering too.
Al-Anon and Alateen can help.
Call 1-866-200-0223 or visit alanon.org/help.
Do you worry about how much someone drinks?
Do you feel angry or depressed most of the time? Do you feel neglected or unloved?
Do you feel that if the drinker loved you, she or he would stop drinking?
If you answered yes to any of these questions, you are not alone.
Not everyone trapped by alcohol is an alcoholic.
Families and friends are suffering too.
Al-Anon and Alateen can help.
Call 1-866-200-0223 or visit alanon.org/help.
Do you worry about how much someone drinks?
Do you feel angry or depressed most of the time? Do you feel neglected or unloved?
Do you feel that if the drinker loved you, she or he would stop drinking?
If you answered yes to any of these questions, you are not alone.
Not everyone trapped by alcohol is an alcoholic.
Families and friends are suffering too.
Al-Anon and Alateen can help.
Call 1-866-200-0223 or visit alanon.org/help.
Do you worry about how much someone drinks?
Do you feel angry or depressed most of the time? Do you feel neglected or unloved?
Do you feel that if the drinker loved you, she or he would stop drinking?
If you answered yes to any of these questions, you are not alone.
Not everyone trapped by alcohol is an alcoholic.
Families and friends are suffering too.
Al-Anon and Alateen can help.
Call 1-866-200-0223 or visit alanon.org/help.
Do you worry about how much someone drinks?
Do you feel angry or depressed most of the time? Do you feel neglected or unloved?
Do you feel that if the drinker loved you, she or he would stop drinking?
If you answered yes to any of these questions, you are not alone.
Not everyone trapped by alcohol is...
It's Saturday. Gonna shine, shave, shower, and brush my teeth. Go out and dance and forget my grief. Make all the nightclubs in this town, 'cause my sweet baby's gonna show me around. Well, we go here and there and everywhere. Where we go, I just don't care. We'll do the town up and we'll do it right, because tonight is Saturday night. Who cares if talk gets around? Just 'cause I'm sly and not so meek, Saturday don't come but once a week. Gonna shine, shave, shower, and brush my teeth. Go out and dance and forget my grief. Make all the nightclubs in this town, 'cause my sweet baby's gonna show me around. Baby's gonna show me around. Well, we go here and there and everywhere. Where we go, I just don't care. We'll do the town up and we'll do it right, because tonight is Saturday night. Daylight will catch me going strong. One only lives once in a life, and I don't have a nagging wife. Gonna shine, shave, shower, and brush my teeth. Go out and dance and forget my grief. Make all the nightclubs in this town, 'cause my sweet baby's gonna show me around. shower and shampoo. Go out and dance the whole night through. I'll swing it left and I'll swing it right, because tonight is Saturday night.
Company's here. Our company, that is. Hello. This is Larry Berger, along with Ricky Berger, and this is the show that gets your weekend off to a good start. The Saturday Light Brigade, Saturday mornings at WRCT Pittsburgh, WIUP FM Indiana, WMCO New Concord, WSAJ Grove City, WCUC Clarion, WNJR Washington, WKYW LP Kaiser, West Virginia, Mountain Streams Radio.org, Tube City Online at WMCK.FM, McKeesport, and SLBRadio.org/radio, which will display all sorts of ways that you can listen online, as well as by phone, 98728. Today, our doors open at 10 o'clock. You can be part of our live broadcast. We'll welcome Mount Lebanon High School Songwriting Club members Mira Johns and Gabby Prasad. They will perform a few songs for you. Also, some writers who recently received awards from the Scholastic Art and Writing Award Program. Tika Gill from Penn Trafford High School, C. Somber from Pittsburgh Kappa, and Layla Nigel from Dorseyville Middle School. KDD joins us just after 11 o'clock. And earlier today, Steve Hawkins at 8:20 talking about Vocal Confluences Spring Show, Sounds of Steel, an a cappella tribute to Pittsburgh artists, which will run today and tomorrow at First Presbyterian Church of Edgewood. After the show, our studios and Youth Media Center can be toured until 2. It's all part of Remake Learning Days. Thank you for meeting Ricky and me here for the show that gets your weekend off to a good start, the Saturday Light Brigade, Saturday mornings from SLB Radio Productions.
I long to go back where the space is wider, to ride some horseback and roll my own smokes. Longing to go back where people seem politer, to say hello
in evening I'll go. I've been way so long, I think this is the right road. But it's changed so much, I know for sure. Yes, the day will come and I'll be on the right road. I'm saying hello, in evening I'll go. I can send off a letter to her, but that would leave no surprise. No, I got to wait, or wait for that look in their eyes.